Says Daf Ayin Dalad. So we're in the middle of a sugya we started yesterday about creating a situation where Baal Achoso, even though there's a chiyuv misa to kill the brother who's chasing his sister, you're supposed to kill him. The Mishnah said in Ksubas that you pay a knas. Isn't it kinle b'dei Rabbi Mineh? So the Gemara gave a few different answers, and so now the Gemara says the top line of Ayin Dalad Abaye Amar. The situation where you could have killed you could have stopped the brother without having to kill him. You could have knocked out his kneecap, let's say. So then there is no chiv misa. So that's a situation where he would have a chiv knas. So Gemara explains this is the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. He the Tanya Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul Omer Rodef Shehaya Rodef Acher Chavero Lahargo. A guy is trying to murder someone else. And you could stop it by shooting in the kneecap. But you don't end up killing him. Rather, you don't neragalav. And if you don't do that, rather you just kill the rodef. Then a person gets killed for doing this. So the Gemara says, "My time, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. Why is that the case? If you could have saved him, instead you kill the rodef, you're liable." The pasuk says, "V'chi inatsu anashim yachtav," and two men are fighting. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "There's some pregnant lady off to the side. You accidentally hit her, and you knock out the child inside. So you're responsible to pay." So the pasuk says, you're reading on the side. The pasuk says, "If you end up killing her, so then the murderer doesn't pay for the vlad because he is a chiv for he killed her. If he didn't kill anyone, so then he is a chiv tashlum." Fine. So, what's the relevance? The Gemara says, "V'amar Rebbe Lazar b'mitzvas shebemisa kasev medaber." This is talking about where the guy tried killing someone. He punched a lady in the stomach accidentally, but he tried killing. He tried killing the guy, but ended up hitting the lady in the stomach. So, the pasuk says that's the context of trying to kill. So, dechsev v'im ason yihyeh v'nasata nefesh achas nefesh. If there's an ason, if there's a death. If he kills someone, so then he himself is going to get killed for being a rotzeach. Still, nonetheless, the pasuk says, "Amar Achmana, v'loye alson." Let's say he wasn't successful in killing someone. Oh no, she has to pay money. So even though he tried killing someone, but he was unsuccessful, but isn't he a rodef now? The guy trying to punch Reuven in the face, kill him with a knife. Let's say he's chasing him down and ends up not killing him and hits a lady, and lady loses the vlados. So now I'm a rodef, no? So a rodef is chai misa, so I should be putter from paying the vlados, even if I'm not successful in killing the guy. So how come that makes sense? How come I'm really chai to pay tashlumim? I have, again, a chiv rodef is putter. So the Gemara explained, "E amris, if you say bishama yachal lahatzil be'echad me'evarav lo nitein lahatzil benafsho, haynu mishkachas la diyanesh kiyon shi yachal lahatzil be'echad me'evarav." So if you assume that if you're able to stop the situation by just taking out a kneecap and not killing him, so then that's a situation where I'm the murderer. So if you could have stopped me by just taking out my kneecap, there is no death penalty on me. That's why I would have to pay for the vlados here. There's no chiyuv misa upon me. But Ella, if you assume, if you could have stopped me by knocking out my kneecap, but still, even though I could, you could have, nami nitein latzil benafshi, you could also kill me by stopping me. So then, so I should never be responsible to pay for the vlados because I've got a chiyuv misa in my head. If I'm a rodef, you could always kill a rodef no matter if you could stop him in another way or not. There's a chiyuv misa, so I should always be positive for paying the vlados even if I don't kill the individual. So the fact that you have a situation where I could possibly pay the vlados must be that a rodef doesn't always have a chiyuv misa. When is there no chiyuv misa in the rodef? When you could stop him yachal lahatzil be'echad me'evarav, so then there is no chiyuv misa on him, and he would have to pay for the vlados. And that's the proof for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. So the Gemara says,
you understand the proof? So because he could have killed him, because he wanted to kill him, so that's...
No, since you could have stopped the rodef by knocking out his kneecap, so there is no chiyuv misa on the rodef. You could have just stopped him by shooting him with a kneecap. So there's no chiyuv misa. Since there's no chiyuv misa, he would have to pay tashlumim for the vlados. So the Gemara says, that's not a raya. Really, maybe there's always a chiyuv misa on the rodef. So there's a chiyuv misa on the rodef, so he should never have to pay for the vlados. It's kim levi the rabbi b'nei. Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma shiny hacha. Maybe this instance is different. The misa lazeh, the tashlumim lazeh. He's paying two different parties. He's trying to kill Reuven, and that's one chimisa, and there's another one paying vlados to the mother of the child or her husband. It's not related to the guy who she's hitting. So there are two different obligations that pay off. In such a situation, you don't apply kimle the rabbi mine, meaning what? That there is still a chimisa on the rodef, and there is no proof, and you would still have to pay the money because it's misa lazer v'tashlum lazer.
You apply misa even if you just try to kill someone?
Yeah, that's the whole idea here. They're trying to prove that a rodef, after someone else, you have a right to kill him. And that means
you have a right to kill him, saying, but is he chayim misa?
He's chayim misa. That's what he says yesterday's daf. He's kimle with the rabbi mine from being a rodef. So the Gemara says loshna, not different. Unclear what loshna, it's a very strange usage of the term here, but the Gemara ends up saying not true. The Amar Rava says the following yisod. Rodef shehaya rodef acha chavero, a guy, rodef chasing someone to kill him. V'shibir efter kelim, and the rodef breaks utensils along the way. Bein shel nirdaf, bein shel kaladim, whether or not it's owned by the nirdaf, or whether some other guy, he's like running around in the marketplace and knocking over apples and breaking down everything to chase the nirdaf. So the rodef is always pater. My time, why is he pater? Because mischai benafshahu. So he's mischayv v'nafsho, and this is kimlei b'di rabbi minei. So we see that he's a pater in that case. V'nirdaf sheshibres ha-kelim. Let's say the nirdaf is running for his life. So along the way, he's pushing away kelim, he's pushing away apples and trying to trip up the rodef behind him. So then, the lach is of nirdaf sheshibres ha-kelim, he breaks kelim. If there's shel rodef, if he breaks the rodef's kelim, he tears his shirt, let's say, he's pater. But if he's shel kaladim, if he breaks someone else's kelim, he's chayv. So what's the difference? So why is that? The guy's trying to kill me, so I need to protect myself. So whatever is in my way to block him, I'm going to take and throw in his way. Throw glasses, throw anything I can think of. So the Gemara explains as follows. The reason why Shel Kol Adam, lost place for a second, Shel Rodev, if I break the Rodev, he's chasing me. If I break his clay, Caleb, I rip his shirt, I'm Pater. Shelo Yehe Mamono Chaviv Ala Begufo. The Mamon of the Rodev should not be any better than his guf. Meaning what? I'm allowed to kill the rodef, so Kal V'chomer, I could break his kelim. I shouldn't be responsible. So that's a Kal V'chomer. How come Shel Kol Adam, if I'm running for my life and I break your kelim along the way, someone else's kelim, why am I chayv? Because it's a klal shematil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. I'm not allowed to save myself using someone else's property. There's a very interesting sugya in the Baba Kama where the Yidden were hiding from the plishtim and they burnt someone else's haystacks to save themselves. So you're not allowed to save yourself, even if it's pikuach nefesh, with someone else's mamon. If you do, you have to pay. So that's why they pay for other kalim.
Let's put it this way, if he ends up not saving himself, it's not going to make much of a difference anyway. Who are you going to go after?
Granted. Fine. But this, okay. So then the Gemara says that Rodef Shaya Rodef Acher Rodef. So now you have a few Rodefs. So Rodef, I don't know how to say this, Reuven chasing Shimon.
Both of them are.
So now Levi is chasing Reuven to stop him from killing him. So Reuven's Rodef number one. But Levi wants to protect Shimon. So now Levi is chasing after Reuven. So Levi is now the second Rodef, trying to kill Reuven, the Rodef. So now Rodef, Shaya Rodef, Acha Rodef, Lahatzil, to try to save the Nirdaf, Vishibres HaKalim, now the second Rodef, it breaks Kalim along the way. So Bein Shal Rodef, Bein Shal Nirdaf, Bein Shal Kaladim, whether it's the Rodef, he's Kalim, he's breaking, whether it's a Nirdaf's Kalim, whether it's anyone else's Kalim, he's Pater. And the Gemara explains, Velo Minadin, this is not because this is the halacha, because Shim Yata Omer Kain, if you don't allow Rodef 2, that if you're not going to say he's Pater from any Kalim he breaks, Nims Ein Lecha Kaladim Shematzot Chaveo Miyadi Rodef. If I know I'm responsible, you know, for like the Heimlich maneuver, if I know I'm going to be responsible for breaking this guy's ribs, I'm not going to get involved here. So I need to have some exemption here from any monetary damage. And that's why they put in to this a Heter of Rodef.
How can a fellow, how can a guy, if he's running for his life, so you think he's thinking? I mean,
yeah, he's not thinking, but this is the halacha.
I'm talking.
What's he running for? Maybe, I mean, it's thinking.
Two dots. Avav rodev acher behema. Guy chasing after behema. As we said, you cannot kill such a rodev. Tatani Rashbi Omer ha'oved avodas kolchavim. Person is doing avodah zara. Nitein lahatzila benafsho. You could stop him from doing so and kill him. Mikal v'chomer. Ma pagam hediot nitin latzila benafsho. If you see a person chasing an amurasa, which is a pagam on the hediot level, on a mundane level, you're allowed to kill such a rodef. So pagam gavolo koshagain. If you see someone doing an avodah zara, which is going to be a blemish to a kadosh baruch hu, if you will, kavyachol, lo koshagain, you could kill such a rodef. The Gemara says, wait a second. V'chi onshin min adin? You can't use a kal v'chomer to apply an onesh. So this is yet another example, by the way, that we assume rodef is a din of an onesh.
But Lamaisa, he's also saying he's oyved over the kohen. Every other case is that he's going to do something.
Yeah, so I think it must be correct. It can't be a case where the aveira was done already, because then everyone agrees you can't kill him.
He's going to do more.
Yeah, more maybe? Could be more. That's, I assume that's probably rodef lasos of Odazar or something. But you're right, Pashup Shad, it sounds like he's in the process of doing it. So the Gemara says, Kasavar on Shem Adin, granted, this Braisa, Rashbi holds, you can actually use a Kavachomer to apply Onshin Min Adin. Gemara now quotes another Braisa, Tanya Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, HaMachalas, HaShabbos, Nitein Latzila Benafsho. Person is running to violate Shabbos, you could stop him, and you could kill him in order to stop him. How do we know this? Savar la kavua da amar onshin min adin. He holds also you could use a kal v'chomer to apply a din, onesh rather. The as yeshabes bechilul chilul me avodas kochavim, and he learned a gzeir shava from avodas kochavim that you're allowed to road that you could kill the rodif.
How does it mean the person's running to the
mechal shabbos? He says I'm going to light the fire now. I'm going to turn the candle, turn the lights on. Fine. Gvar now says Amar Yochanan mishin Rabbi Shimon Yod Tzadok. Nimnu v'gamru b'aliyas beis nissa b'lud. Nimnu v'gamru always means they got together, they wanted to take a vote. So they got together in this attic, they used to always hang out in attics in a place in Lud, and they were taking a vote. And they said the following was the halacha that concluded. Kol averos shebatora im omrin la'adan avur v'al tarog. A person says with a gun to your head, do that iser, I'm going to kill you. The halacha is yavur v'al yarog. You should violate the iser of Shabbos and not take your life. Except for the big three, Ran says these are very severe averos. These are the three exceptions. So the Gemara says, "Vavodas kochavim lo, vavodas are you're not allowed to. You can't do the vavodas are to save your own life." V'atani, doesn't the Brisa tell us? Amar Rabbi Yishmael, minayin she'im amar lo la'adam that they say to a person, "Avod avodas kochavim, do the avodas are v'al tareg, and we won't kill you." Minayin she'yavod v'al yareg. How do you know you should do the avodas are and not have your life taken? The Torah says you should live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs. So even if Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to worship to protect your life. Yachal filu what? Yeah, so we say this, we'll see in a second. Yachal filu b'farhes. So one might think even in public, to do Avodah Zarah in public, you should be allowed to do it to save your own life. There's a limit. That you're supposed to sanctify yourself in public, but bitzina you're allowed to do avodah zarah to protect yourself. So Gemara says you're right. That's one brisa, but we hold like a different brisa that avodah zarah you're not allowed to do even to save your life. Inhu damar Rabbi Eliezer, they held like Rabbi Eliezer. Ditanya, famous drasha we have here in the Gemara brachos as well. Ditanya Rabbi Eliezer, Om Rabbi Aftes Hashem Lokecha b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol meodecha. The pasuk says, Im ne'amar b'chol nafshcha to give up your nefesh. Why does he give up all your ma'od? What do we learn from these two different phrases? Some people's body is more precious to them than their possessions. So then, you have to be willing to even give up your own guf. Some people think that their property is greater than their own body, so l'chach ne'amar b'chol modecha, to even be willing to give up your ma'od, all your possessions. So that's how we know that you have to give up your life for avodah zarah. That's how we hold. So the Gemara says, gilei ra'ayos v'shvichas damim. How do we know that? What? Yeah. Gilei ra'ayos v'shvichas damim, k'di Rebbe, d'tani Rebbe Omer, ki kasha yokum isha re'eyu v'retzacho nefesh. The person gets up to kill someone, to murder someone. Kein ha'davar zeh. So this is in the context of Na'ar Merasa. We saw this earlier, a few days ago. What's the connection between Na'ar Merasa and Rotzeach in the very same pasuk? So the Gemara quotes a brisa again. V'chima lamadnu mirotzeach. What do we learn from Rotzeach? Me'ata. Harei zeh bal lilamed v'nim tolamed. It comes to teach and it comes to learn. What does that mean? Makish rotzeach l'nar murasa, creating a hekish. Ma nar hamurasa nitein latzil benafsho, that you're allowed to kill the rodev to protect the nar murasa. So af rotzeach nitein latzil benafsho, you're able to kill the rotzeach to protect the victim. So now that's one direction. But what about the other direction? Makish nar murasa l'rotzeach. Now we're doing the other way. Ma rotzeach yarog val yavor, better to be killed, yareg val yavor, rather better to be killed than to violate the iser of murder. So to afna murasa, which is one of the arayos, of course, tehareg val tavor, better to be killed than it is to violate such an iser. So the Gemara says a great hekesh, but roteach gufa minolan. Where's the basis that roteach you're supposed to give your life up rather than to murder someone? So the Gemara says that's based in a svara. Svara, we see this is one of the riots. So the Gemara says svara lamali, rather kro lamali svara. What do you need a pasuk for? It's a svara. So Pnei Yeshua learned that a svara is a din deraisa. So even though there's no source here, so we see, but since it's a logical idea, so the fact that roteach a person has to give up his life, it's a din deraisa, it's a svara, even though there's no actual limud. So what's the svara? Once a person came to Rabba of Amrle, says to him, Amrle Mariduri, so and so said to me, Zil Kali Laplani, go ahead and kill Ruvain. If you don't kill Ruvain, I'm going to kill you. So well, he has the option of what, killing or having himself killed. What should he do? So Amrle, Rabba says, Likid Lachav lo tikta. Rather you be killed and not to be killed. Why? Because Miyemar de Dami Didach Sumach Tve, who says your blood is redder than his, Dilma Damadahu Gavra Sumach Tve, maybe his blood is redder than yours, and therefore better to be passive and be killed than to kill someone else. So that's the source of the Svara, is why Rotzeach gives up his life. You give up your life not to murder. From a Hekesh, we learn Gilei Raya as well, you should give up your life. And from the other Drasha, V'chol Mildecha, that even for Avodah Zarah as well, you should give up your life.
So we're saying the Chaybahem is really a Mushbahem, so when does that apply? As opposed to, how do you know you're
all other mitzvahs. All other mitzvahs.
Except for
Somebody says, put your shatnez kallah on.
Exactly. Exactly. Or Shabbos. The Gemara, you may talk about this is the source for Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, that you have to live by them and not die by the mitzvahs. Fine. There is a discussion. Let's say a person wants to be machmir by the other averos. Is he allowed to give up his life for the other averos? The guy says, Michal Shabbos, or I'll kill you. So the Pasuk Gemara says, you don't have to give up your life. You could be Michal Shabbos. But can you give up your life and say, I don't want to? There's a big machlokus in Rishonim whether or not a person is allowed to willingly give up his life for other mitzvahs as well. Fine. What? Yeah, I remember.
No.
I remember. It could be true. I just gotta remember. It doesn't mean it's not true. Fine. Gemara's last few lines. He also Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Israel, back to Bavel. He said he quoted from Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu elo shlo b'shas gzeres hamelch. This malchus. This whole discussion is only when there's no gzeres hamelch. When things are regular, things are shalom. When things are very, very bad for the Yidden, filu mitzvah kala, even a small mitzvah, a person yareg v'lal yav, or rather a person be killed than to violate an avera. The Gemara is going to give an example of mitzvah kala in just a few lines. So ki aser Rabban, when Rabban came back from Eretz Israel, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan, filu shlo b'shas gzeres hamelech lo amru ela b'tzina. He had a different distinction. He said, even if it's shalom, times of peace, if it's done in public with farhesya, then also he'd have to give up his life for a mitzvah kala. So my mitzvah kala, what's considered a small mitzvah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, afilu the shnuye arkasa dimisanif. Even it changes the shoelaces of his shoes. So what exactly is that? So look at the Rashi in the top of Amud Beis here. Arkasa de Misana Shesruchanal. That's the shoelace, Rashi says. Shim Derecha Ovdei Kochavim Likshur Kain. If the non-Jews have a way of tying it, but Derech Yisrael Binyan Acher, and the Jews have a different way of tying their shoes. Kegon Sheyesh Tzad Yahadis B'Davar V'Derech Yisrael Yos Tzinuim. So there's some idea, not just random, but there has to be some level of tznius that, I don't know, they don't bend down. They'll put their foot up on a chair to die. Let's say that's more tznius than bending down. So then, afilu shinoi zeh, even that small change, zeh, she'ein kan mitzvah, it's not even a mitzvah. Ela minag ba'alma, it's simply a practice. Yekadesh es Hashem b'fnei chaveiro yisrael. You have to sanctify the name of Hashem, even in front of, even though it's a mitzvah kala, v'hai p'frahesiv midabar b'yisrael, referring to in the presence of other Yidden. The Gemara is about to ask how many Yidden. The Gemara now, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis argues in Rashi. Tosis says, Afilu l'shnuya arkasa demesana, l'chora mashma deminalayim mishunu mishal akum. It's not referring to how you tie it, but actually referring to the types of shoes that they wear. So it sounds like from here that the Jews had different shoes than the non-Jews. Kedamar nami beperka kones babakama gave elazar ziira dehava saim misane uchme. He would wear black shoes. The kamar shaya misabel al yushalim, because he would that's a symbol of velus. The chain mashma moseches tainis gave ahu gavre dehava misaim misane uchme. He'd wear black shoes v'lo rami chute, and not put strings in. Remember that story, that was the individual who's a Jew who ran the I forget who it was, but someone told Eliyahu Navi and asked him, who's a Bar Olam Haba here in the Shuk? He said, that guy over there. He went over to that guy. The guy was running, and he didn't look like a Jew. So the next day, he said, come back to me tomorrow. The next day, he comes back to him and says, what do you do? Whether you're Zochet Olam Haba? So he says that I dress like a non-Jew, but I go amongst the non-Jewish governors to find out any gzeiros that they have to tell the Yidden. So I can't wear tzitzis, I can't dress like a Jew, so they wouldn't know. He was a spy, in essence, trying to find out exactly what was going on. But it's clear from there that he had to wear different shoes to show that he dressed like a non-Jew as opposed to a Jew. It's not how you tied it, but what he was actually wearing. So then look at Feiter and Tosa. Tosa asks a question of Akasha. You can't send a white shoe because it's not usable. It's muksa because you first have to blacken. You have to put the polish on it. So it's clear from there that even the Jews would wear black shoes. Why the Gemara said earlier you don't wear black shoes. So the Gemara says, "Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, didafka ritzuos haminal hayu mishunas mishal akum." No, only the shoelaces were different. The shel akum shcharos, the non-Jewish laces were black. V'shel Yisrael levanos, the Jews had white shoelaces. Everyone agrees the leather of the shoes were black, but the shoelaces were the difference. So Rashi thinks it's about how they tied it. Tosus thinks about what they actually wore. So the Gemara now asks, "V'kama parhesia? What's considered parhesia?" So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Farhesia Pchusa Miyasar Ben Yadim, has to be no less than 10, at least 10 people, if not more, to qualify for Hesia. So Pshit, the Gemara says, of course, Yisrael Ba'ina, and of course you need Jews to be the 10 people. Dichsev Nek Dakshi Besoch B'nei Yisrael, have to sanctify them in the presence of 10 people. So Ba'i Rabbi Yirmiya, Tisha Yisrael V'nachri Echem. We know Rabbi Yirmiya always asks very pointed questions, very like number questions. So 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, would that qualify? That's why Rabbi Yirmiya kicked out of the base medrash, Gemara Babasa says, because he asked, would a mikvah with 40 saw minus 1 drop, is that going to be a mikvah? A kasha mikvah. He says, Rabbi Yirmiya, we told you stop asking such questions. The shir chachamim are exactly shirim. Don't ask these crazy questions. And they booted him from the base medrash. So there's another example. Rabbi Yirmiya asked 9 Jews and 1 nachri. What's the din? So mahu. So Tashma detani Rav Yanai achu de Rabbi Yechir ba Abba Asya toch toch it has a gzeh shava. Ksiv hach it's written here v'nikdash di besoch b'nei Yisrael. Uksiv hach it's written hivdalu mitoch ha'eda hazos in the context of what that's Korach. So malahalan asarah v'chulo Yisrael. Sorry, that was the context of the Meraglim rather. Hey, Dazos. The 10 bad Meraglim that's supposed to Yeshua and Kalev, the 10 bad ones. So Malahalan Asar V'chulu Yisrael, Afkan Asar V'chulu Yisrael. Just like there was 10 Yidden, so too for Hesir, for Yagva Yavra has to be 10 Yidden. There's a fascinating Tshuva of Moshe. He's talking about whether or not you could count a person's Mechal Shabbos as part of the Minyan. So he uses this as a raya, the fact that the Meraglim were Rishayim at the time, they were Rishayim, and you could count them, they're the source of a minion, so too you could use a Michal Shabbos as a minion. I once spoke to Rav Shecht about this. I think he says the Olam doesn't assume that way. They don't assume you should l'chachila rely on them. He didn't like the drasha, I seem to recall.
Bidyeved,
you're allowed to. Bidyeved, you're allowed to. But l'chachila, we try to have 10 Shomri Torah mitzvos. Fine. The Gemara now says, wasn't Esther Bavar Hesia. She was with Achashverosh. Everyone knew what was going on. So shouldn't she have given up her life? And so now Toza asks the question, what's the whole question? Wasn't it Gilei Arayos? Forget for Hesia. Gilei Arayos is also even Vitzina. So what's the shot of that? It's for Hesia. So Toza goes a very fascinating discussion here. There's a parallel Toza that appears in Maseches Ksubis right in the beginning, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Bias Akum is called a Bia, whether it's considered one of the Arayos. It's certainly Aser will qualify as one of the Arayos. So Tosus assumes from this that Rabbeinu Tam assumes that it's not Gilei Arayos. And that's why the Gemara only asks that it's only for Hesed would be the problem. But else the Gilei Arayos Shebo, that's not a concern. And it goes on to a whole discussion. Rabbeinu Tam wants the Matir once. Let's say a woman, a married woman, a Jewish woman, was with a guy. So normally the lach is an Eish Ish who's with another person. It's Aser, Aser Labal, Aser Labal. You can't stay married to that person ever again. But let's say it's with an Akum. So then what happened was she got divorced. And then the Akum became Mager. Is you're not allowed to marry the Baal. The one who one was with, the Isser Baal, cannot marry. But now he converted, are you allowed to marry? So he thought, so since that Bias Akum is not really considered a Bia, you would be allowed to marry that guy, who's now a Ger. So they bring other ayahs differently because the pasuk says kasher avati avati kasher avati avati. We have Esther, right? What happens? I'm lost to you. Esther was always bonish. She was forced to be with Achashverosh. But the one time she willingly went to Achashverosh in order to have his favor, so she says to Mordechai, now I'm also to you forever. But why? If it's really true that B.S. Akum isn't going to answer her to her husband, so she should be allowed to stay remaining married to him. So they bring a riot the other way, that B.S. Akum does render her usher to her husband. Anyway, it's a fascinating Tosos here. There's all this yeshiva spend days and days and weeks on this Tosos and all the other Rishonim. Okay, back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, how could Esther be with Achashverosh? Wasn't it Farhesia? And we said, Farhesia, everyone has to, even Mitzakala, you have to give your life up. So the Gemara answered, Amar Bai Esther Karka Olam Haisa. She was a Karka Olam. That means either she made herself as a Karka Olam, she wasn't involved in the Maisa, or some Rishonim say women are always have a passive role in Bia, and they're always considered Karka Olam. Fine. That's first answer of Abai. Rav Amar Hanat Atzman Shaini. No. Achashverosh's intention wasn't to make sure that she's Mechal Yadis. His intention was for his own personal benefit. The only time we say for Hesia that you have to give up your life is if they're doing it to mamish to go lahachas against Yiddishkeit. But if they're doing it for their own hana, so then that's not a situation where one would have to give up their life. Gemara says, because the ilo temahach, if you don't say such a svara, so then hani kvake v'dimuniki hechia hivinle. So what is that? This talking about? Shirashi explains here that hani kvake v'dimuniki are klei nechoshes shenosen bem gecham. These the copper, bowls that you put coals in them. Ugvoen hay, they're very high up, maybe like these, I'm thinking the outside fire torches. Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. So ugvoen hay, va'omnim lefnei shulchan mlachim, they would stand in front of the tables of the kings. This chamim connect them just to warm up. And the problem is that they would place this even on the Yom Chag, on the Yontif of the non-Jewish holidays. So isn't that for Avodah Zarah purposes? So how could, apparently the Jews were involved in this business, so how could they ever provide this type of heat if it's involved for the Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says, Elohanas Atman Shaini. I mean, you're not doing it. The kings are not asking it for their Avodah Zarah. They're requesting it for heat, for their own personal benefit. Nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Yeah, the context is Avodah Zarah, but that's not the goal here. So here as well, Hachanami Hanaz Atzman Shaini. The fact that Achashverosh was with Esther wasn't because it was trying to go against the others, it was because his own personal Hana, and when it comes to Hana, one does not have to give up their life for the Vitzpefer Hesia. The Ozder Rav Latame, Rav goes according to Shita in general, Damar Rava Akum Damar Le Laha Yisrael. A guy says to a Jew, Katol asafsus abishabas. So cut down this branch, this food or something. Vishade licha yisuse, and I want you to feed it to the animals. If you don't do that, katir nulacha, I'm going to kill you. So it's a regular case of Mechal Shabbos, so we know that you're allowed to Mechal Shabbos to protect yourself. Liktav lo liktali. Rather, cut down the violate koter, and don't have yourself killed. But let's say he says to you, Shade lenara, throw it into the river, cut it down, throw it into the river. So then, likat lev lo liktal. Rather, you should be killed and not cut it down. What's the difference? It's a chil Shabbos. We said before that you don't give up your life for chil Shabbos. Where it says, my time alavuri milsa kabay. The fact that he wants you cut off, just to cut it off and throw it into the river. There is no hanaf for himself or for his animal. He's doing it just stam lahakis against the yadus. So that's a situation where you would have to give up your life. So that's the difference between hanas atmo versus lavuri adas. If it's hanas atmo, then... So, assuming it's Prasya, that's what I assume, exactly. Okay. The Gemara now says, the last two lines of the Amud here, Ba'im Yineh Mir B'Yabmi Ben Noach, Mitzuvah Al-Kiddush, Ben Noach Mitzuvah Al-Kiddush HaShem, or Ein Mitzuvah Al-Kiddush HaShem. We know Ben Noach is chayv in seven mitzvahs. Let's say someone put a gun to his head and said, listen, violate the Isser, Vodah Zarah, Gila Rayas, Ritzicha, whatever case it is, does he have an obligation to give up his life to not do the Averas or not? So Amar Abaye says, Toshma Sheva Mitzvos Nitztavu B'nei Noach V'misa Tamnehavi. We only have seven mitzvahs that Ben Noach is chayvin. If you're telling me he's chayvin Kiddush Hashem, that's number eight. We don't find such a source. So we see that he's not chayvin Kiddush Hashem. So the response back is, Amar Le Rava Inu V'chol Abzirayu. The Abzirayu are any subcategories of the seven mitzvahs. So for example, let's say we say Gila Raya. So the classic example of Gila Raya is Eshes Ish. But not only Eshes Ish, even Choso, even Imo, even Aviva, or let's say Ritzicha, murder is Aser. According to Sam Rishonim, underneath the murder is a subcategory of Lahal bin Pnei Chavera Barabim. To embarrass someone in public is some level of taking out his blood, he turns white, there's some level of murder. So under the seven categories is Abzerayu, there are these subcategories. So too, Kiddush Hashem is a subcategory of whatever mitzvah is talking about. So let's say underneath Gilarayos, Kiddush Hashem would be Abzerayu of the Kiddush of the Gilarayos. So the Gemara says, "My Havalai." So what's how do we paskin? So Amirav Ada Barav Amri Beirav Ksiv. It says in the pasuk, "L'dvar Hazeh." This is a pasuk that appears in Melachim Beis. "L'dvar Hazeh Yislach Hashem Lavdecha." For this matter, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide slichatas bevo. Adoni Beis Rimon Lishachvel Shama, that I went with my master to Beis Rimon, which was a place of Avodah Zarah, to bow down. Who Nishan Ayadi Vishachavisa. So apparently the king, this is referring to an individual, Naaman, the person Naaman, that the king would go with Naaman, and Naaman would help the king bow down to Avodah Zarah. As he would hold him down, he'd bow down with him. So he was, Elisha had saved Naaman, had Saras. So Elisha had saved Naaman. He went to the mikveh seven times, and he washed off the teras. So now he's asking for slicha for the fact that he bowed down with the king in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, "Uksiv." It's written. Elisha responds back, "Vayom alo leich l'shalom." You should go in peace, which indicated that you're slicha mechila, complete slicha mechila. Isa, if it's true, lo leimaleha. If it's true that he's not chayv kiddush Hashem, so there's no need to do tshuva. He didn't do anything wrong here. So the Gemara says, "Leimala habetzina haba for hesir." No, if it's done betzina, it says no chayv kiddush Hashem. But if it's done for hesir, there is a chayv kiddush Hashem even for the ben noach. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.